we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I hope that your air conditioner is keeping you cool. It's been kind of steamy of late, and so, but we pray that this will be a refreshing season in your day here, an opportunity for the Word to come in. And we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 25 today. We're going to begin in verse number 1. It's not a long chapter. If you ever are given an assignment that you've got to memorize an entire chapter, this one's only 12 verses. So that's not too awful bad. At least it's not Psalm 119. And it's not Psalm 117 either. But, you know, Psalm 119's got a lot of verses in it. I think like 170 something like that. But this one here is not too bad. So we do want to let you know that this week our schedule is a little bit different. We do have... No kids ministry this coming Wednesday as well. We've got kids that are away at youth camp, so we want to make you aware of that. We do have our Women of Worth meeting tonight, 6:30 they start eating. 7 o'clock is when the meeting itself starts. That meets in our fellowship hall. It is the building behind our sanctuary. It's closest to come into the parking lot off Tangerine. The fellowship hall sits in between Parnell and Grove. So if you ladies would like to come out and be a part of that, we would be thrilled to have you. So let's get into the Word today. Isaiah chapter 25, verse number 1, and it says this: O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For you have made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in a dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For on this mountain the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled down under him as straw is trampled down for the refuge heap. And he will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim. And he will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands, the fortress of the high fort of your walls. He will bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground down, or bring to the ground down to the dust. And so you can see from reading through that and getting into verse number 10 that this is a prophecy. It has to deal with Moab and the pride of Moab. It's broken down into three sections. The first is a section, verses 1-5, is a section of praise for what God has done. Then it talks about in verses 6-8 the things that God has done or is going to do. And then in verse number 9-12, it begins to talk about the celebration that takes place as a result of this. So let's begin looking at verse number one. It says, O Lord, you are my God. Okay, everything that we have needs to begin with that declaration, with that realization that he's our God, that it's not just a position that he holds, but that we have a personal relationship with him. I'm of this mindset that I think that it's time for people to quit playing games. I think that if you want to embrace sin, that you need to embrace it, run with it. If you do not have a reverence for God that says he is worthy of me sacrificing everything that I have for, then go ahead, embrace that thing. I have a couple of stories that I remember. One is of an evangelist named Catherine Kuhlman, who walked in a tremendous anointing, but she had not always lived a perfect life, and she made some decisions that God wasn't pleased with, and she had to repent of those, and as a result of that, she laid those things down in order to embrace the anointing that God had for her. And I remember reading a story one time of somebody who was talking to her about the anointing, and she says, you have no idea how much I laid down in order to walk in this level of anointing. And so today I want to begin with just a little bit of comparison of where does God fit in your life? Is he your all in all? Is he, you know, second place, third place, fourth place, last place, no place at all? Still, if you ask Americans, you will find that most Americans, it's a shrinking majority, but it's still a majority of people here in America will tell you that they are Christians. And so at that point in time, we need to begin to ask ourselves, is he truly our God, or are we just giving him lip service? Because God said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The other story that I was thinking of was a man who went fishing every Sunday, and his wife was constantly trying to get through to him. And he says, look, this is my only day to go and do what I want to do. I'm working 6 days a week, and so I go fishing on Sunday. And he went out fishing alone, and as he was casting, his favorite lure got hung up in the branches, and he refused to let go of his favorite lure. And he reached for it, fell out of the boat, hit his head. But when he did, he managed to grab hold of the lure. And when they found him, he was deceased, but he had his favorite lure in his hand. He had grabbed for that thing, which was the most precious to him, and it cost him his life. I believe there's a thing called a monkey trap. I might not have the name of that right, where they put something inside this box that a monkey could get its hand into the box to get. But when he would grab hold of it, it would not allow his hand to come back out. It was large enough that he could get his hand into. But when he formed a grip around that, he could not get it. And the reason that it's called a monkey trap is the monkey would refuse to let go of that thing that was keeping it bound. I saw an article here a week or so ago about a American eagle that had been ensnared by a piece of rope and had got entangled up in the tree branches and was dangling upside down. It had probably grabbed that rope to take it up to build its nest, but it got tangled up between the branch and between the leg on the eagle, and it was hanging, and it was so high up in the tree that the emergency rescue people could not get to it. And so they brought in a military person who was a sniper, and he took 150 shots. And what he did was he shot the limb that was holding the eagle so that the eagle could come down. And today it's my prayer and my desire that this week that spiritual eagles would be released to soar to heights. That eagle that was ensnared, it came crashing down. It received minimal damage, and they were nursing it back to health. And I pray that this week, that no matter what you've been caught in, no matter what deception you have been lured into, that today God will set you free, because God created eagles to soar. He created them to soar to the greatest of heights. He created them to soar over the storms of life. They are specially equipped for surviving inclement weather, adverse conditions. And today you are not to be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. You are not created by God to be moved by every change in your emotions, but you are called to be steadfast in Him, to grow in faith with Christ Jesus. And so today I just want to ask you, can you begin this day the same way that Isaiah begins this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 25? O Lord, you are my God. Because if He is, then the next is a natural outflow of that. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. Now, I want you to know that God is already exalted to the highest place. His throne is above every throne. There is no place that we can lift Him to a higher place of prominence in an eternal scale. But we can exalt Him in our own personal life. And I want to ask you today to not spend the latter part of 2016 being an undercover Christian where nobody knows that God's involved in your life, much less that He is exalted in your life. But I want to ask you to exalt Him to the highest place, that His will means more than your will, that His desire, His pleasure, that it's His plan that you want to embrace. And so today I want you to exalt you. He says, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. So here's what I encourage you to do, and that is praise Him for the things that He has already done, so that you will be prepared, trained, and equipped to praise Him for the things you need Him to do. Praise Him for the things that are to come. I'm thankful. There's some wonderful things in Isaiah chapter 25 in here that testify about things that God is going to do. And I don't want to wait till that day to praise Him. I want to start praising Him for the great things that He has done now. What about the job that you have, or the house that you live in, or the car that you have, or the family that you have in your life, or the church that you are a part of? Praise Him for the things that He's healed you of. Praise Him for the sins that He has forgiven you of, the bondages that He has broken, and the prisons that He set you free from. What are some of the things that you can praise Him for? You see, I have discovered that to a large degree, life is a great deal about perception. It is what you see, what you are looking for. I have bought cars in the past that I never noticed on the road until I had one, and then I saw them everywhere. I remember the first time that my wife was pregnant. I didn't really pay attention that there were a lot of pregnant people walking around, but all of a sudden my wife was pregnant, and then you saw pregnant ladies. I saw pregnant ladies everywhere when we were, when you're moving, you see moving trucks every place. It's about your perception. And if you get up and you are going through something difficult or going through a bad season, you will see everything through that lens of pain, of suffering, of turmoil and triumph, or pain, trauma. You will see everything through that. A person could come up and give you a check for $1 million and you'd say, really? I've got to go to the bank to cash this? They're going to put a hold on this for I don't know how many days. You couldn't have just given me $1 million cash? Just so you'll know, if you want to write out that check for $1 million to Merit Assembly of God, we're okay with whatever hold they put on it. I'm just letting you know. We're not going to complain about that. There are some people, because there is something challenging going on at home, that when they go out into public, they take that out on other people. There's a lot of people that says, if I'm going to be miserable, I'm not going to be miserable by myself. And so I encourage you, change that perception. Begin to praise God for the wonderful things that he has done. Praise him for the wonderful things that he has done. What are some of those things? Well, he came and he dwelt among men. He laid aside all of his glory and he came and dwelt among men. That is a marvelous thing. He showed us how to live victoriously. He showed us how to overcome temptation. He showed us how to have a relationship with the Father. He showed us how to allow the Word to be something that transforms in our hearts and minds. He showed us that. He came and he went to the cross, and on his journey to the cross, they beat him, they whipped him, they struck him. His back was laced wide open so that our bodies could be made whole. And I don't care what you have had, it is a miracle. It is God's design. It is the wisdom that he's blessed the doctors with that enabled us to recover instead of allowing something to rob us of something that God intended for us to have. Recently I had some eye surgery. I didn't do a whole lot of research beforehand, and afterwards I had nothing but time on my hands. I'm still not allowed to do a lot of the things that I would like to do. So I did a little bit of research as to the process of the surgery that I underwent. And I said, I looked at it and said, oh my goodness, that's just amazing. It's horrifying, but it's amazing. And my other thought was, thank God that he has put wisdom and skill in the hearts of doctors who sacrificed of their time and their finances and studied diligently in order to be able to help people to regain their sight. It wasn't sight-threatening at the at this point in time, but it was sight inhibiting. It was restrictive. And to be able to have that process, I can praise him today because I can see. I can praise him for times that my body has been made whole. I can praise him for times that marriages have been made whole. Praise him for salvation. Praise him for his favor. I thank God for times when we've cried out and he answered and he opened up windows of blessing. Praise God. Make it a regular habit to say, God, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Don't become an ungrateful. What was the term that I used recently? Don't become an ungrateful trust fund baby where just whatever is going on, you think that you're entitled to it, you deserve it. Listen, we need to recognize the blessings and the favor of God. There's an old song. It's a hymn. I know it dates me. It ages me. It lets you know where I am. But count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. There was a uh, a story one time of a lady who was sitting in a church, and she was pretty animated in her declarations of verbal affirmation to what the preacher was saying, and it was disturbing some people, and so they went to the pastor, and the pastor said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of this." And he began to talk about how Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and he said, you know, archaeologists have now decided that the place that they went was not dry ground. It was only ankle deep water. And all of a sudden, this lady just threw up her hands and began to praise the Lord. And the pastor said, "Sister, I don't know if you understood me. I told you that the children of Israel only walked through ankle deep water." And she said, "But you don't understand. That means that that entire Egyptian army was drowned in only a few inches of water." You see, she was looking at the fact that God was actively involved. And I want you to know that when you look back at the Word of God, when you look back and read historical biographies or autobiographies of men and women of God, and you see God at work in their lives, praise Him for the things that He has done, because He's the same today as He was then. He is the same today as He's going to be for all of eternity. And I encourage you that if you believe that God is going to take care of you for all of eternity, that if He's going to prepare a place for you there, He is going to prepare a place for you here. If He's going to provide for you there, He will provide for you here. Do not fear. God is in control. He says, "Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." When you begin to see all that God has done, and you begin to analyze the things that He has advised. You see, we here, we are faced many times with the opportunity that people do not want to hear what we have to say. And so I encourage people to do this. Before you go in and address a situation, establish relationship with someone. Go in to listen before you go in to speak. Go in to listen before you go in to speak. God is not hindered the way that we are. Our counsel may be biased. There's a scripture in Proverbs, and you know, my summation of it is this: the first person to present their case seems right until the other person gets up and presents their side of the story. And, you know, here in America right now, where so much is tried by jury, by media, where the media gets up and they present things, and there's things that are twisted and contorted. There are things that are omitted and left out. There are things that are presented in such a way to compel you to believe one side of the story without hearing all of the other sides of the story. And so I encourage you to bind yourself to the counsel of God, to the Word of God. It is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's not going any place. And Isaiah says, "Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." We live in a time of great, great unfaithfulness. We live in a time that the scripture says in the last days, people would be led by deceiving spirits. And here Isaiah says, you know, whenever I look to the counsel of God, I find that it's faithful and I find that it is true. You know, I don't want to be looking at scripture with the mindset that says, what has changed so that that does not apply to me? You know what? I think my wife still wants me to love her and be willing to lay down my life for her as Christ laid down His life for the church. I really think that's what she wants. I think that, you know, we should honor our father and mother. I think that's still pleasing in God's sight. I think He still wants us to honor him with the first day of the week, our first fruits. I think he wants us to honor his word. I think he wants us to have no other idols before him. I don't think he wants us committing adultery. I don't think he wants us going around killing. I don't think he wants us going around stealing. I look at those things and I say, you know what? Those are not a recipe for restriction. Those are a recipe for blessing. And so it is true that you and I make a choice. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to choose to embrace it? Are we going to choose to believe it? Or are we going to choose to reject it? But I can tell you this. It is faithful and it is true. What God tells you, it is faithful, it is true. When people start looking for anecdotal exceptions, when they start looking for the loopholes, why do I not have to do this? Then what I find is that there's something that has a hold on them. Today, if you're going through some difficult times, if you're awoke this Monday and said, you know, I just don't feel like praising God today, I want to encourage you to look in the rearview mirror and see the things that God has done. The other day, I had driven my car, and I really don't know what happened. I must have bumped the mirror, but when I was getting ready to back out of my driveway, I looked up and to look in my rearview mirror, and my rearview mirror was out of adjustment. And I said, you know what? I'm not moving this vehicle until I fix my rearview mirror. Today, as you get ready for the adventure that God has for you, believe that God has great things in store for you, that it is an adventure that is waiting to happen. I want you to begin to ask yourself these three things. Is my personal relationship with Jesus, is he my God? Am I willing to praise him, and am I willing to praise him for the things that he has done? Take a look back at the beginning of the week to see the great things that God has done, and then know this. He hasn't changed. He's going to do great things this week. Father, we want to thank you and praise you right now that you are our God, that you are on the throne, that you are faithful and you are true. And Lord, we will not be silent, but we will praise your holy name. Lord, I thank you for the great things that you have done in history. I thank you for the great things that are recorded in your word. I thank you for the great things that you have done for Merit Assembly of God in the past. I thank you for the things you've done for me in my life. And Lord, with this week ahead of us, we say, do it again, God. Do greater things than these. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without it. Me speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.